bless you all, dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for adding another day in our lives, and not just any other day, but a beautiful day where we all gather together in His name. Amen. Before we commit the service to the Lord, let's read the words of life. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3.
First Timothy chapter
3, verse 15 and 16. Amen. Okay, we shall read. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for showing us the way where we all can walk together, encourage one another, so that, O Lord, we can enter into the rest with you, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for opening the doors for us to move from glory to glory, from grace to grace. Because, of Father, we are growing day by day in our life, spiritually, because of the living word that you have revealed to all of us, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for the foundation, the revelation of truth, the revelation of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your grace by which we are able to stand firm in your word, O Lord. Lord, we are here because of thy grace and mercy. The salvation is the greatest gift from you to us. And we receive your name in our lives, O Lord. The name above all names. The very reason for the existence of us on this earth is you, O Lord. To live a life under the sun where we can set our eyes upon things above the world has never seen. But Lord, we believe even we don't see because of Father. You helped us to experience what is agape love. You showed us the grace and mercy. We were not worthy, but Lord, you looked beyond the cross. Lord, we thank you for the unconditional love by which we are all gathering here today as one body of Christ to glorify your mighty name, O Lord. Lord, we are nothing, O Father. We are here to decrease ourselves, to increase thyself because, O Father, you are worthy of our praise and worship, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for the living word. We thank you for all the wonderful miracles that you have done in our lives. Lord, we can't understand, our little brain cannot process your greatness, O Lord. We can only surrender ourselves to be lost in thy love, to be completely taken care of your living word, to be completely surrendering our lives, our everything that we have got here, O Father, because, O Lord, we belong to you, Lord. Lord, today we are here, O Lord, to study and meditate the words of life, to know you more, because of Father, knowing Jesus is everything for us in this life, and Lord, and we can only do that in thy word, O Father. For God is love, and without love we are nothing, O Lord. So Lord, I pray in the mighty name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we commit this entire sermon unto thy hands. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts with the soft prompting, the still voice,
yes,
to break the word, to speak life to us, to help us to grow in our faith, to be fruitful as a righteous people of God in this fruitful field, O Lord. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the family, God's family that we have. Lord, we thank you. It is a privilege for us to be part of this wonderful family of God, because, O Lord, you called all of us by name, and we were scattered, and you gathered all of us here right now today, O Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray that our feet stand firm in thy word, the foundation on which everything has been built upon, for whom everything is created, because, O Lord, your word is working in us according to thy will and pleasure. Lord, I pray, help us to appreciate the blessedness that we have received because of your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, the spiritual eyes, to see the revelation that you are going to unfold to us, because, O Lord, we know if we are willing and obedient, you will show us the things of excellence to us, so that we all can press on to reach the mark of Jesus, O Lord. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that may you take complete control of myself and the whole church under thy wings, O Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit breaks the word and seal the entire congregation and the sermon for the glory of your mighty name. In the name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you, brethren. You may be all seated. Amen. When we started this sermon, we just glorified God's name by reading the most important mystery, that we call it as mystery of godliness. As we are all blessed, the Lord gave us salvation so that we can embark on this journey to walk with him humbly in this narrow path to, as Hebrew we read, we encourage one another daily, because it is a daily process. Every day we have a battle. Every day we must deny ourselves to take up our cross and walk with him humbly, following the ark. It's a daily process. We cannot say that I have 30 years experience or 40 years experience or 20 years experience. It doesn't matter, because the Bible says today is the day. Amen.
Amen.
So the mystery of godliness in Timothy, when we read, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, from glory to glory. When the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, when he gave his life for us, he descended into Sheol. Then when he ascended, when he was resurrected for us, we talk about the glorified Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. So what does the right hand represents? It represents authority, it represents grace, it represents mercy, it represents what we are all having today right now, the salvation that has been given to us. If all of us are here because we were able to understand the truth, if all of us gathered as one family of God, if it is because someone preached and it really touched our heart many years ago, or we love someone whom we trust more than ourselves, so when he says something and we just say, I believe because I know him, I know that he would never go wrong. That is not the revelation of Jesus Christ. God deals with us one to one, and we can only say that my candle starts showing light, someone sparked a fire, from the moment we established the relationship with the Lord by the revelation of himself in his word through the Holy Spirit. That is where our journey starts, and that is when we start shining the light of God to one another. So now, if we are all candles sitting here, and all of us, we have our flame, we do not know how many years left in our life, because the candle, the moment when you lit the candle, it will start go down and down. So to the world, yes, the candle size is keep on reducing. I mean, your life is going down, you are going to die. But from the moment the fire was lit, when we start producing the light, the beauty is, a single candle, as we all know, it can lit as many candles as you want. There is no limit to it. It's a chain reaction where no one can quantify. Only God knows. If the candle says, look at my light, how bright it is. Look, people are getting some warmth from my light. The candle has nothing to boast about, because the light, the fire that came on upon the candle, it doesn't belong to him. It doesn't belong to the candle. So now, we need to appreciate what is the true definition of saying, I am blessed. If I go to a shop, or if I work very hard, and let's say the employer credits salary to your account, would you say, thank you employer for the blessing? You earn it, you work for it, and you deserve it, and it was given to you. And you go and buy something from a shop for your family, you pay and they give you something, you will check whether this particular product is worth of my investment. You won't tell the shop owner, thank you for the blessing, because you paid for it and you received it. But when it comes to salvation, our walk with the Lord, the truth that has been revealed to us, can anyone say that we deserve it? We are not worthy. So which means, does it belong to us? No. We sing the song, I belong to you, Lord. But throughout the walk, over time, as we learn more, as the Lord gives us more revelation, that little fire, flame, the flame on top of our life, we may tend to think that I want this flame to be bigger or smaller, or in this way, or in this way, or I'm going to this darkness to show light. We totally forgot the fact that it doesn't belong to us. We were not worthy, and because of His grace and mercy, we receive His salvation. Amen. So, blessedness, nakedness, by the grace of God, we started this series last week. We studied on the importance of understanding what is the foundation of the Lord and what are the foundations. Everything else other than the Lord's foundation is not the true foundation that we should stand upon. Because the Bible talks about a lot about the feet shod to prepare the preaching the gospel of peace. And the feet is where or how we all stand. If the feet is shaking, unstable, it's not the foundation is unstable, there is a disconnect from us and the foundation which standeth for sure. Blessedness is something explained as heavenly joy or a state of mind that you feel that you are blessed all the time. A good example is, let's say, what is dark? Dark is an example of something that you cannot see. You can see, but in that particular place you cannot see. So it is a place. But what is darkness? It is a state of being in the dark. So darkness, nakedness, blessedness, the word, the way it ends, it represents the state, the present particular moment where we are right now. Am I in darkness or am I in light? Am I embracing the blessedness that has been given to me, or am I throwing it away and embracing nakedness? So last week we studied the words of life on nakedness, but let's go to the Bible and ask the Lord to teach us what is the true definition of blessedness. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. Okay, let's read prayerfully. And you had quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We shall read this again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Can you walk if there is no foundation? We will be floating. The Lord says, walk. The narrow path has a foundation. Without word, we can't even see where is the narrow path. Amen. So in this beautiful words of life, the Lord tells us, we were all dead because of our trespasses and our sins. But not by our works. The Lord, he is rich in mercy. Amen. And because of his grace, he called us and he told us, you don't deserve it, but keep it. You are not worthy, but keep it. You are not righteous, but keep it. I will impute my righteousness. I will take you back to the eternity. I will give you the rest. So the Bible says, what we have today, right now, what we have learned so far, no matter whatever the history of our faith that we walked with the Lord for the past many years, it's all given to us as a gift. It is a gift. When someone gives us something that we are not worthy of, that is where the state comes in, saying that I am blessed. Because I was not worthy, but still the Lord blessed me. I didn't do anything great to deserve this, but still the Lord saved me because he is rich in mercy, because he is a gracious Lord, and because he created me, and because he loves me, and because he gave his life for me, so I am blessed. Every time when we say someone, God bless you, you are actually reminding them, God has been blessing you. God has blessed you, and God will bless you. There is no time to it, because God is in eternity. There is no past, present, future for him. It's only for us, isn't it? We are bound to time. We are like fishes inside a living inside a fish tank, and the four walls are bound by time. And we have an expiry date for our body. But for the Lord, he waits because he is gracious. Everything that we have received spiritually, let's remind ourselves, it is a gift from the Lord. No matter how many hours, how many years we spend in reading this Bible, we would live our entire life, 80, 90 years, and die without having the revelation of Jesus if the Holy Spirit doesn't break the word for us. So if we all accept that we are blessed, amen? Are we all blessed? Amen. We are all blessed. Now let's move on from one step, blessedness. which is believing that I am blessed, I was blessed, I will be blessed, I am being blessed, because the Lord I serve, the Lord who lives in me, is beyond time. So it becomes a state of mind, not an event. Blessing is not an event. Event has a timestamp. If you say, 15 years ago, I was baptized, it's an event. That doesn't mean anything for us if we don't enter into His rest. It is just an event. God is a living God. He lives. Amen. So the word that we are finding our desire to eat, the life itself, it says that appreciating what the Lord and how the Lord blessed us, and have this central focus, the consciousness that I am standing in blessedness. It's not that you were blessed. It's not that you are blessed. The God whom we call blessed is He who cometh in the name of the Lord. He lives in you. Because of that, you are in a state of blessedness. So the word blessedness is very important for us to acknowledge and appreciate and accept that the blessing that I have is something that cannot be controlled by time. Is something is not bound to time. I cannot boast about it. I cannot predict about it. I can only say, today, right now, I am living with God. And I am blessed because God is in me. You don't know about tomorrow. Whatever happened in the past, you also had no control. There is not a day passed by without the Lord's blessing in our life. Every day, every morning, His grace and mercy is fresh, it's new. Because it starts a day. There is no sin that cannot be washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So now, blessedness, let's keep this in our heart. Ephesians chapter 2, we learned whatever we have today, right now, whatever we learned yesterday, whatever you are going to learn tomorrow, remind yourself, it is a gift from God. I did not pay for it.
Amen.
I did not earn it.
Amen.
It was given to me because of His grace and mercy. Receiving His grace and His mercy from the living God is your blessedness in your life. It is very different for all of us because we all have our own cross. We all have our own time to grow in His garden. Some are plants, some are trees. Today, tomorrow you will be a plant. It's not like I'm a tree, I would remain as a tree. It doesn't work like that. The progress in our journey with the Lord, you could be a plant today, tree tomorrow, you would be a plant again a few days later. A 7-year-old child can teach a 70-year-old man. That is how the spiritual life works. It's true. The Bible said, Lord says, if you cannot convert into a children, you would not enter into my kingdom. Why children are often used in the Bible as an example? Even God says, my children of Israel. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, the word children is there. Irrespective of whether we are 40-year-old, 80-year-old, 90-year-old, we are all children in the eyes of the Lord. Because He has no time. Whatever the age, whatever the experience that we boast about, is nothing compared to His time. Let's all refresh our mind about creation. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Amen. Then we know there was a process of creation. Then we have this prehistoric era. Then we have recreation. Now we are all moving towards what? What is the state that we are all moving towards? Regeneration. Amen. Regeneration is the glorious body, the celestial body, entering into His rest. And the rest is also identified as Sabbath in Old Testament. And Sabbath is not a day. Sabbath is a person. Amen.
Amen.
Everything was created for Him, in Him, by Him. Amen. He is the Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
Now, blessedness is, Bible says no man has seen God. Even when we read about this mystery of godliness, the Bible said seen by the angels. We will go into deep about that. Seen by the angels. No man can see, has seen God. But we also read about Moses was talking face to face with the Lord. So we need to have a spiritual discernment what the Lord wants us to see, not by our eyes. There is a way the Lord wants us to see. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read Psalms chapter 3 verse 8. When David talks about salvation even before. We receive from the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Psalms chapter 3 verse 8. It says, he speaks of which belongeth to whom and who we are in single verse. Verse 8 he says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon all people or thy people? Thy people. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And in different translation, this salvation is seen as deliverance belongeth to the Lord, and his blessing is upon his people.
Amen.
So let's appreciate that God called all of us to be his children.
Amen.
Amen. Because we just read about the fullness of Gentiles, preaching gospel to the Gentiles, which is also part of the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy, isn't it? So we are all fulfilling God's word, and how we do, if we offer ourselves to him and proclaim that I do not belong to anything, anyone, but I only belong to you, and there is no me, it is Christ who lives in me. And this perfect submission is the obedience that we need to fight against the disobedience that will reject everything. So now this blessedness in Romans chapter 4 verse 5 to 8. Let's read this. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 to 8. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 to 8. I read. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. We shall read this again. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That is very important, without works. We know faith without works is death. We have to work silently to put that food on the table. So we need to work to earn everything. But not this. This is the one that begins everything. Everything that talk about, I should work, I'm a fellow worker of the Lord, I will go and build the building with the Lord, I will serve the Lord, I will honor the Lord, everything you do with the Lord, yes, we are fellow workers of the Lord. But there it begins, that beginning is a gift to you and me. We should never forget, we did not earn it. We were not worthy of it. We were called because of his grace. And David beautifully says, the blessedness of the man. The man always represents both male and female. Amen. Blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed his righteousness without works. You didn't do anything, but I will impute my righteousness. Because of that, you have entered into the state of blessedness. Before, we will enter into the state of his rest. And we are not going to literally rest. We will continue to work with him. Because God, he never stops working.
Amen.
Now, David beautifully said about what is the blessedness of the man. And we have been studying on blessedness of the church, nakedness of the church, because we are one body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of our church. Amen. The next verse, we say, he says, saying, verse 7, blessed are those are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now this brings us to the next step, acknowledging that I am blessed, I am in the state of blessedness. Second, do not forget that the Lord has forgiven our iniquities so that we would be able to reach this state of being blessed. So the Lord has forgiven our iniquities and our sins are covered. Covered by what? The sacrifice, the death of Jesus, the resurrection. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. And that blood is a remission of our sins. And no one can say, this sin cannot be washed by the blood of Jesus. We have absolutely no right not to even think about it. There is nothing cannot be covered by the blood of Jesus. We hold on to love. We hold on to peace. We think, speak and do life for one another. And the life is nothing but we eat the word and we do the work. The energy should come from the digestion of God's word, not from the digestion of our own thoughts or not from what we listen. We always refer and confirm that what we receive is in line with the words of life. Amen. So, blessedness is because God blessed us, God is with us, and we are walking with Him. And also it reminds us that you are in darkness, your iniquities were forgiven, and your sins were covered. We should not forget that. Some people say, do not think about your past, it will bring you down. No, it's not actually true. We have to humble ourselves by remembering how marvelous the grace we received and how beautifully the Lord humiliated us. Although we were not worthy, He touched us. He showed us His love. So everything that pushes us forward, it is good to remember. Everything that makes us to move closer to the Lord, it is a very beautiful memory to keep in our hearts. Godly sorrow is something can also be achieved when you remember your past and you feel the sorrow, not because you feel guilty, that humiliation, the Lord still touched me. I was not worthy, but still He loves me. What I did, you didn't do anything. It is because He is righteous. He is rich of mercy. He is gracious. So He decided to show the salvation to you all. He decided to show the salvation to all of us.
Amen.
So let's pray to the Lord that this should be like a permanent scar in our heart, that I have been gifted by the Lord and I am standing in blessedness. This is very important for us to understand why we should be obedient. Because whatever we have, our strength, it doesn't belong to us. That is why we obey. That is why we listen. That is why we tell the Lord, please do whatever you want in my life. I will just submit. Because this is a blessing to me. I didn't earn it. The verse 8, it says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. So the Lord can impute righteousness and the Lord says, I can also impute sin. But the Bible says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Yes.
So can we say that we are all walking in this narrow path, spiritually healthy, with a clean heart, just because we are following Ephesians 6 and fighting all the battle and overcoming all the battle, we are becoming a great, strong spiritual warrior? No. The Bible says, the Lord is in complete control of your life if you completely surrender yourself to Him.
Amen.
Even if you fall, even if you die, even if you are persecuted, even if you lose everything, it is still a gain in the Lord as long as, the Bible says, as long as you are willing and obedient.
Amen.
It doesn't say as long as you are skillful or spiritual. Willing and obedient, because these two, the Lord is expecting from us. Everything else He will take care of. Celestial body, are we going to design by ourselves? No, it's going to be given to us.
Amen.
Can we clothe ourselves by just by telling that I have read all the Bible, I know everything, so now I can say I'm clothed in white linen cloth? No. There are things that we should do for the Lord. Everything else we leave it to the Lord. Because the word blessedness says you are standing on a foundation which was not designed by you, not built by you, doesn't belong to you. You didn't even identify how it was found. The Lord took you from somewhere and placed you on the foundation, the solid rock. So the place where you stand is a privilege. The place where we are gathering today is a privilege. It's not the building. It's not the group. It is the place, the holy place, where the Lord dwells among His people. Amen. The foundation is surer because the word cannot be perished. The word cannot be destroyed. The word cannot say that I read this somewhere, but I didn't see this being fulfilled. No one can say that. Everything that has come out of the Lord's mouth will be fulfilled and no one can stop it. So we are just playing the part of standing on the foundation and stand firm in the Lord who is our foundation, and everything else the Lord will take care of. So the foundation of the Lord, revelation that has been given to us, everything is a gift from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, who speak to us, who break our, who open the veil so that we can see. And the blessedness is a state of mind that we should have. Every one of us, we should have the state of mind that I am a blessed child of God, but I was a child of woe, and I was a sinner, and I was full of iniquities. The Lord washed me, clothed me, blessed me, and carried me and put me on a solid foundation. Now, is there any room for nakedness while standing upon the Lord's foundation? Absolutely no. It is impossible. Because the Bible says, when Jesus said, I am the light, I am the way, and I am the truth, He says, all I am. If you want to walk, follow me. If you want to see the light in darkness, follow me. If you want to know what it's all about, the truth, know me. We are all here to know Jesus. No one can say, I have known completely. If we say that, which means we have completed the perfection phase. We are being perfected to know Him. That knowing Jesus is to conform to be like Him. So, what is the major problem or the trial, I would say, attacks that we have, that the whole world is struggling with, when it comes to these two important ones? Foundation, blessedness. If all of us can see the true revelation, all the people who are following other religion, lost in denominations, worshipping idols, they would have forsake all of those Satan, you know, following, and they would have come into the foundation, the truth. What is the key barrier that sits between them and the truth is how they see. The spiritual eyes, not these two physical eyes, the spiritual eyes. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. What does it mean? I can close my eyes and I live my entire life with faith, spiritually. Because the Bible says, blessed is he who believed without even seeing. He hasn't seen anything, but still he believed. And what is that thing that he hasn't seen? We are here to set our affection on things above, which we have not seen. Can you say that I have seen, have you seen your own spirit? We can't even see our spirit. Or can you see, I can see my memory? You can't even see anything. It is very, I would say, irony that human thinks how powerful he is, or how smart, how intelligent, how strong he has become, because now they are arranging tour from Earth to Mars, right? So they have gone to a different level of intellectual skills, that we can save the entire Earth. I can save the entire humanity. I can colonize them multiple different planets. So they are becoming gods of themselves. But they are intelligent. True. They are wise. True. But in what way? So the important barrier that the other side should overcome is to find out how they can see And the Bible says you cannot walk if you don't have faith. You cannot walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So now, we are moving on from blessedness to study on spiritual eyes. How we shall see so that we can discern whether I am in the state of blessedness or I am in the state of nakedness. Everything against God's word, everything against celestial body, everything against what is about to happen to us will impute the sin, will impute the nakedness in us and which we do not want. Amen. Now let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 to 6. I read. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the chitin things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's consent in the sight of God. Every man's consent in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If the gospel be hid, if it is hidden, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded, let's read this very carefully, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God, to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. It is so beautifully written by the inspiration of Holy Spirit that if the Lord decides to hid his gospel to those who are lost, it won't be open to them. Their veil cannot be opened until the Lord decides to do so. But none of us can say he or she or they lost, because you do not know. You never know. He is the Lord who is and who will judge people according to their works, according to his grace and mercy. What we do here, we are here as fellow workers of God. And what the fellow workers of God will do? To obey God and to surrender ourselves to his work, so that he will do according to his pleasure and will. Because he knows everything. He knows what is the best for his children. So now, if the Lord opened our eyes spiritually by the light of glory of Jesus Christ, that is very important. The word glory, it is something very deep for all of us to study and learn from the Lord. We say glory to God. All glory be to God. We sing a lot of songs that brings the word glory. But we cannot stand in the fullness of God's glory. And Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the complete, the full manifestation of God's word. In him, the fullness of God is manifested. The fullness. So he is the glorious Jesus Christ. When he say, there is no other way to enter into the rest without going through our Savior Jesus Christ, without submitting ourselves to him. Amen. Amen. So now, blessedness can be hidden from the eyes of who are in the state of blindness, spiritual blindness. In different scenarios in the Bible, when the Lord told Saul, when Samuel spoke to Saul, when Saul returned, the Bible says God gave him a new heart. And there is another Saul, who is the greatest apostle. God opened his eyes. But in both the beautiful stories that we learned from the Lord, there was a prophet Samuel who anointed King Saul. And we have this person Ananias from Damascus who anointed Paul. But we will study this deeply. There is a beautiful pattern that converges into one, exactly the same way. When Ananias was about to anoint Saul to Paul, he complained to the Lord. He persecuted. He is against the church of God. But just read this. Let's see what the Lord says to him. Acts chapter 9. Let's read this. So that we accept that the way we see is not the sight of God. We need to accept that. Only then God will allow us to walk by our faith. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 and 13 we read. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. This is what the Lord told him. But look at the response from Ananias. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. Let's pay attention. He said, I have heard. He has not seen. He said, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there, and here, he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Look at the response from the Lord. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. He didn't ask opinion from him. He just gave him a task. But he shared his blindness. Lord, this is how I see. Then the Lord is not rebuking Ananias. He is teaching him, don't see like this. This is not the way you shall see. The Lord said, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, which you would not know, and you will know, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. The Lord was gracious to Ananias, so he wanted to teach him whatever he heard might be true. Whatever he has seen could be true. But this is not the way I see. This is not the way I don't want you to be in such a blindness. So Lord tells us, if you trust in God, if we obey God, and if we believe that our life belongs to Him, we start seeing by faith. We don't see by the words we receive. We don't see by what these two little eyes see. It doesn't mean anything to the Lord. Let's remember this and let's go to 1 Samuel. Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. This is what happened between Samuel and God. And yeah, beautifully, both the persons who were involved in these two stories, the names are Saul. And it exactly, the pattern the Lord dealt with Saul, Samuel, is the same as how He dealt with Ananias and Saul, who became Paul. The only difference is, the King Saul, he received new heart. Apostle Paul, his eyes were opened. Now we are going to study which one is important. Receiving a new heart or the spiritual eyes are opened. Let's read what the Lord told to Samuel. Chapter 16 verse 7 we read, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. But the Lord looketh on the heart. Those days, the emphasis on heart in Old Testament was very high, because it is how you receive the faith, the blessings, the revelation, how the Lord was speaking to his people. And when we go to New Testament, the importance of eyes becomes more and more prominent, because God's light, spiritual revelation, to see through God's word, to break the bread of life for us. So this is what the Lord told Samuel. I don't look at people the way you look at. You can only process, your little brain can process only the outward appearance or what you hear, what you see. But I shall look beyond that you cannot see. Now, when we are in a state of blessedness, we will add one more lesson, that is, whatever we see is not the way God sees. Whatever we perceive is not the way God perceives. Our walk in faith, and that faith is nothing but, I am following the ark, I don't know where I am going. Because I have a God, my God of, the God of my help, my anchor, God of Jacob, God of Abraham. He leads me the way, and his sight I will believe, and I walk by faith. I can close my eyes, as long as my eyes are set upon the ark, the word, I will finish this race. Amen.
Amen.
Did God rebuke Samuel? Did God rebuke Ananias? If he decided not to show them or not to tell them what he had in his mind, that tells us the Lord did not want Samuel to know the plans that he had for King Saul. The Lord did not want Ananias to know the plans that he had for Apostle Paul. God reveals himself to people as and when needed to edify them, to help them. So he blessed in a situation, if there are two people involved, like say one who committed a crime and one who is a victim, God can do one single act which can bless both. Amen? That is how he works. He gathers his wheat, he also separates the tares. He bringeth the light, and he also destroys the darkness. So now, the importance of spiritual eyes to see what God wants us to see. Can we do it by just studying God's word, or can we do it by just praying? Let's understand how powerful the Lord when it comes to shut the heart and shut the eyes. Let's read Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8 to 10. We just read about receiving a new heart for King Samuel before he became a king, and receiving the new eyes for Paul before he became Apostle Paul. So there are two things, heart and eyes. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8 to 10. We read this. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed.
Amen.
Amen. In this single verse, Isaiah chapter 6 verse 10, the Lord says, he can shut your heart, he can shut your eyes, he can shut your ears, that you may not see anything. You can't see how the Lord unfolds his way, unless we say that, Lord, I repent and I surrender my life to you. When we stand in his grace and mercy, he will open up. And this is the same when we read before, the gospel is hid from those who are lost. And those who are lost is not known to us. That is the judgment of the Lord. We trust in life. We speak life. We do everything for life. And that is the love of God that we are here to show to everyone. So if the Lord can open your eyes, shut your eyes, if the Lord can make your heart to receive understanding, and also He can make your heart to be fat, cannot receive understanding. So what we are standing, whatever we think of ourselves, becomes nothing. We are nothing without Him. We are totally, absolutely nothing without Him. He opens the heart to receive. He opens the eyes to see. He opens the ears to listen. Everything if He does, then who am I? Who are you? We are nothing but the part of the body of Christ. The head does everything. Amen? The head does everything, and we obey and we go and merge with the Lord's body, saying that I am nothing, I am here to obey, take complete control of me. I cannot see, but you can see. I cannot receive, but you can help me to receive. I cannot listen, but you can help me to listen. Because everything is in the head. And who is the head? The Lord Himself. Amen. Amen. So from here, if the blessedness can be uncovered from the eyes of darkness, if the Lord decides to shine His light upon us, the Bible says the glory of the face of Jesus. Amen. In Psalms 119, you remember, this is a very favorite verse for everyone. We say, Lord, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Which one is? The word. God's word is the lamp to my feet and light to my path. Now, the feet because of which we are standing on the foundation with the blessedness that the Lord has blessed all of us. And it says, if we do not eat His word, there is no lamp and there is no light. Now, if all of us to say, the Bible says, stand firm in the Lord. So I'm going to stand, I don't need any lamp, because you need a lamp only when you walk. You need a lamp only when you progress. You need the light only when you move forward and you don't see the way. And that is where we bring following Jesus. The Malachi chapter 1:6 says, if I am the Father, where is my honor? If I am the teacher, where is my reverence? So we show the honor because we are blessed. We show the honor, we show the reverence because we were not worthy, but still He called us to be His children. So now we are following the Lord, and the Lord tells us, my word is the lamp and light, so you can walk, grow. It's not moving from point A to point B. Spiritually, we are all ought to grow. We are moving from one place to one, glory to glory. And that spiritual perfection is the important mark that we will all achieve. To say that I am being perfected to receive the celestial body from my glorified Jesus Christ, who is my bride, who is my bridegroom. I am His bride, my word groom. Amen. If the feet is where we stand and we stand upon God's word, we are all here. We receive gospel not to keep within us, but we preach to one another. We encourage one another, because it is not going to be an easy work. So now, the carnal mind, the carnal eye, which is completely limited. When I say limited, it has a bandwidth. I just thought of something happened many years ago in my life. One of my friends, whom I know for about 3 years at that point of time, I was working with him closely. He just sit next to me. He don't talk to people. He is very quiet, very reserved, very calm. And he looks always like very sad. Whenever you see his face, you know that you will feel that he's very sad. So some of my other colleagues, whenever we go for lunch, we always have lunch together, those 2 or 3 years. There was one particular person in my office many years ago. He is very good in giving free advice. He likes advising people. It's like he cannot stop. He thinks like a fountain of advice. He cannot stop. So he always give advice to this particular my friend in the lunchtime. Don't be sad, whatever you have problem, don't worry, everything is okay. If you have anything, you can share with me. He just like try to encourage him. But this friend, he always eat, he say, okay, sure, I will do that, I will do that, I will definitely contact you. Because he is his supervisor. So when you are a supervisor, you just try to gel with the team. Right? So he just try to emotionally support him, always give him a lot of advice, share the valleys of his life that, you know, I was driving, suddenly there was a small accident, my front headlamp was broken, thank God, you know, I was not injured, it's a great miracle. Like that, you know, he was sharing all his problems, trials to basically encourage this particular friend. But I'm also in the same lunch table, but by God's grace, I have been through a lot in my life. So when I see someone, I feel that he has been through something extremely deep. That is the reason behind his calmness and, you know, like his silence. So I dare not to ask him anything because he is also older than me, but five or 6 years. And since it's a very sensitive question to go and ask someone, what happened to you, why you walk like that, why this and that. If he says something, if the person says, you know, I don't want to tell you, you will feel a bit bad. So it's always good to maintain a space. If the Lord wants you to, wants to bring two people to closer, nobody can stop it. No one can stop it. He will find a way to come and reach you. Or you will find a way to come and reach him. But at that point of time, I knew and I felt in my heart that I am the one going to be blessed by him. So I knew, so I kept my mouth shut for 2-3 years. I worked with him. He reported to me. But we were so good friends. But I never crossed the line by God's grace. One day, this particular person who gives advice, we even call him Mr. Advice because he cannot stop giving advice. I'm not despising him, but there are people like that. So he just forced him that called my friend's name. He said, today we have long lunch break because there was some event going on. He said, today we want to hear your story. It's been many years that you joined with us, 2 or 3 years, but you never told us what happened. Then he was eating, my friend was eating. He just spoke for 5 minutes. After that, that person, he was pushed into a utter deep silence. And my friend said, 15 years ago, I was traveling on Himalayas in a bus. He's from a very poor family. His parents are farmers, like doing this potato farming on a Himalaya mountain slides. And he was studying undergraduate degree in some top university, you know, in India. So he said that he will have to travel 14-15 hours to reach the university. So he came for holidays. He went back. He was 16-17 years old at that time. I was also eating. I knew something is going to come. So I was just, you know, like finish my food first and I started listening to him. Then he said, when I was going in the bus, I was reading some books. I was preparing for exams. I was studying very hard. Then suddenly, he was telling very casually. He was telling this. Then suddenly the bus started rolling from the Himalaya mountain and the bus went all the way to the down. There are about 47 people died. Only 3 survived and I am one of them. And they didn't know that I was alive, so they threw me into the van of all the dead bodies. So that their parents, they are very poor. They had no cell phones 15-16 years ago. I'm talking about 20 years from today. So he said that their parents didn't know that their son got into an accident. A major one. That news, the whole India knew. It was a flash news, you know, in the news. About 50 people died, you know, in the bus accident. And when he was telling that, I was remembered of that accident. So I was just quiet listening to him. And he said, only 3 people survived. Just before they were about to carry out postmortem, they saw that he was alive. And he had no one with him because he was along with about 50 people who were injured terribly. So he was in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks. And after that, when he got into consciousness, he was unconscious. He felt he literally was like reborn. That, you know, he couldn't remember what happened. He had stitches all over his body. And he found a way to inform his parents that he was in an accident. It took many years for him to recover. Then he said, After that, I didn't know how to overcome this valley, so I decided to focus on studies. So he did PhD in the top university, and Singapore government shortlisted him to work as a senior scientist in Singapore. So they came to Singapore to work, and now he is married, he has a beautiful son, and he said, that's what happened. So when he finished saying that, the person who was giving him advice for 3 years non-stop, because he was a supervisor, he stopped eating and he was quiet. He knew that he crossed the line too much. When our eyes are blinded, you never know what is the deepest point of someone's valley, even before you say a word. You never know. Unless the person is your friend in Christ, whom you know in Christ, who knows everything, then you can go and tell him, oh, your valley is 1 kilometer deep. I have been to 2 kilometer valley. So let me come and tell you how I dealt with it. Then yes, you can say. But let's say the deepest valley of our life is just 10 meter. And we go and tell someone, don't worry, who is in 10 kilometer. It doesn't work like that. We can only pray for him. The spiritual discernment is something to believe and trust in the Lord. My prayers, my work, my life as a living testimony is all you can do to preach gospel. You can preach gospel without saying a single word to one another. Amen. We are the walking Christ. We are the walking bride. We are the walking word. People are observing us. People are reading our life. And that person, he said something very interesting during his testimony to me separately. He said when he was recovering from this major tragic incident, he found a friend in his PhD journey. His name was Joy, and he is a Christian. The person who was sitting next to his laboratory, he was my friend who had in this accident. He was not a Christian, but he said he found comfort and encouragement because of the 4-year relationship with his friend who was a Christian, who always shared gospel to him. And he still believes in Jesus, but he has not come into the truth. He is not in any religion, but I know for sure the Lord will bring him in the own time. Because he has already seen Jesus. He believes in the Bible. He said, I love Ecclesiastes. I love the Psalms chapter. I'm reading it. I'm learning a lot from it. But he is from a different religious background, but now he's disconnected from all the hate and this thing. But it's just a matter of time when the Lord brings those people. Now, let's compare ourselves with that particular person. He has been to a valley where his life was seen as gone. Then he survived, he came back, finished PhD, now got married. He's living a life. But he knows his life is nothing but a gift every single day. That is why he do not want to be quiet. He is not trying to be quiet. He was made quiet. He received the calmness. He received something. Something happened in him that changed him upside down. He cannot act because I have seen him for 3 years. He is always the same. To the outside world, his face will look sad, but actually he is full of joy. He has no regret. He is enjoying his life. You will only know when you have a relationship with someone. As we just read about, jackfruit is very hard from top, but when you cut open, it is sweet inside. Outward appearance of man, outward appearance of people that we know, is not the way the Lord sees us. The Lord wants us to see people the way He sees us. When He looked beyond the cross, was there anything good in us? But how come we were in the sight of God? There was nothing good in us. But still God said, He can enter into my rest. I will guide, just keep my word, keep my lamp, keep the light and just walk. Do not look back. Looking back has two different meanings. One, we backslide. Whatever the Lord gave to us, oh, the foundation is very boring, always in the same foundation. Let me go and try some other foundation. You backslide. There is another looking back, which is looking down on people is also the same as looking back. We are never ought to despise anyone just because of what has been revealed to us. It is a gift. We are not worthy. Whatever has been given to us, it doesn't belong to us. It is the revelation that we belong to Him. That's it. The truth, the gospel, the sermon, the books, the understanding of Godhead is all given, revealed to you. We didn't go and find it. We did seek, but He made us to find it. We asked the Lord, but He decided to give it. So now, if we are here gathering as one God's family, we are not here to keep the light within this ministry. That is not the work that the Lord wants us to do. We must shine the light outside this ministry. And we must show what we have learned by living our life, not just by speaking. If I go and tell 10 people that, do you know what happened in Garden of Eden? Do you know what happened? Do you know what is Godhead? If I tell them, explain them, make all the equations, draw everything, explain everything, and the person listens to me everything, then he says, whatever he said, I don't see it in your life. What will you do? If our life is not a living sacrifice, whatever we say doesn't mean anything. It doesn't hold any value. So now we remember, the feet shod with preparation of gospel of peace represents your life wherever you go. You don't even know you can preach gospel. The way we handle our problems, the way we embrace love, the way we love our enemies, we are preaching gospel in peace. I always wonder, if we are all to preach gospel of peace, why there are so many wars, so many battles, so many wrath, people are killed, people are died, people are punished, people are burnt in fire, and even in Revelation we have Armageddon. Why? But the truth is, there is no light, there is no darkness. Amen? There is no peace, there was no war. What is the opposite of peace? War. God will bring peace to His children, and He will wage war against those who are disturbing His children. But He did not want us to decide who are lost, who are peace, who are cursed. We don't have that responsibility. That is not the spiritual eye that we are looking upon. The spiritual eye is to understand your blessedness that will bring us into humility and sincerity and humbleness, by which we will automatically show love to everyone, because what you have doesn't belong to you. Amen. Now, by God's grace, I was thinking about how limited our mind could be, and I recently came across a story that I want to share before we proceed. But just please listen to this story very carefully, because I didn't prepare for it, but just I will just explain the story. As I share the story, it's also inspired by true events. You can start processing your mind. It's okay. You can just process the story in your mind, and we will arrive on another understanding. Two brothers, a father is a police officer, a very bad one, the mother a housewife, innocent, but the father is a very bad one. He had the power, so he go and molest women, attack poor people, and he was like abusing his power. So the mother wanted to save her two sons from the bad father. And these two sons, I'm just calling them as two brothers. They were their brothers, two brothers. So now, one day there was a big fight in the family, and the mother filed a divorce against the father, the husband, and the court gave a verdict that you shall separate the two sons, one each, and go part your ways. The mother, she always has some favoritism to her first son. So the court said second son goes to mother and first son goes to the father. But the mother, she chose that she wants to take her favorite son. When she did that, the second son, who was watching that, he was broken. He was like dead inside. How come my mother rejects me? Wow, what I did wrong. And this rejected son decided, had no choice, live with the father who is a bad person. As he was a police officer, he had all the power, so nobody challenged him. He lived a very worldly life, a filthy life, and he raped women, and some husband of a particular woman came and killed the police officer to take revenge. So he died. and this rejected son became orphan. So he was growing, he didn't know where his mother and the elder brother went. They part ways. And many years later, and this orphan, the son, I'll just call him as orphan, because he lost his father and he also did not know where the mother was. And the police department gave him a job because, you know, his father was killed when he grew up. So he became a police officer. But he decided not to do the same mistake of his father. So he wanted to be a good police officer. He got married and he had a very beautiful daughter and they were living a peaceful life. This is the story. Maybe I will just say my right hand represents the son who is an orphan. The left one is the one who left from the family. Many years later, these two brothers, they came across to meet each other. And the one who left, he became a doctor. And the one who is orphan, he became a police officer. So they were so happy after they met many years. And the doctor said, the mother also passed away. And I am married. I have two daughters, one younger one and one elder, two daughters. So the brother was so happy that, you know, he finally met his elder brother. So they decided to go for a family tour. So he was driving, and he was driving with the younger daughter of the doctor, the elder brother. And the other family were in another, you know, vehicle. And this police officer, he was addicted to alcohols, and his elder brother didn't know. He was drunk. He was driving the car carelessly and they had an accident and a second child died. And this broke the heart of the elder brother, who is the doctor. I didn't know you all these years. I didn't see your face. And after 20, 30 years, I came and saw you, and the very next day, I lost my daughter. So I don't want to see you again. So he left with his wife and the elder daughter. And this brother, who didn't want to do any harm, but because of his alcohol addiction, too, he paid the price and the child was lost. So with that guilt, he became a very unstable man, depression, he lost his job. He became like his father because his wife ran away from him. He started molesting women and became a very bad person. On the other side, the doctor who lost his child, he was addicted to alcohols because he couldn't bear the pain. And he was also separated from his wife. Now, one brother is like in exile. Other brother is also in exile. And he's doing bad things. The other brother, he just lost his mind and he's in depression. In the middle, there is a woman. There is a small girl. And this wife of the doctor, she decided to raise her daughter away from all these people. Just, you know, go far away from this cursed family so that she will protect her daughter. So they just ran away from them. And for many years, they didn't know see each other. And the daughter, she had never seen her father. Because she was so small and she never saw, you know, her father. She did not know how the father looks like. And this bad brother who was going with a bad attitude of attacking people, attacking women, this and that. On one day, he happened to meet a young woman who was staying in a hotel and he was drunk. So she was like below 18 years old, minor. And she was with her boyfriend. So he's a police officer, right? He got back his position. So he went and threatened them. What are you doing? This abomination. How can you two minor are staying in a hotel room? This is fornication. So he threatened them and he arrested the boy and he told the police officers to go and put him in the jail so that he can be, you know, investigated later. But the woman, she was alone as he was drunk. When there was nobody else, he molested her and he raped her. And that particular young girl, and she was broken, she could not say this to anyone because what she did in the first place was also an abomination. So, but she paid the price and she also cannot tell this to anyone. Many years later, these two brothers came to know each other and this brother who was molesting women and being a bad person, he was watching a TV event where the same girl, the young girl, minor, whom he molested, she came in the TV screen. And when he saw that, it reminded, you know, his sin, that I was such a very bad person. At the same time, his elder brother sent a message to him that I finally found my wife and my daughter, and I want you to join my family gathering, and I want to forget all the past, so join my family gathering. So this elder brother, he has not seen his wife and daughter for many years. The daughter has not seen her father or her uncle, never. So when he received the photo, he saw it, he was broken, and it is the same girl that he molested, who is nothing but the daughter of his own brother. When he saw that, he did not know what to do, because he thought his life is just starting. And with broken heart, he died. Because he knew what happened just now is going to destroy his elder brother, because they are identical twins. You imagine the wife introduced her daughter to her father, who look exactly the same as the man who molested her. Identical twins. Now, let's just think about this. See how our mind is limited by our eyes first. The father is a good person. He wants to get back his life. He really went to a very deep valley. He didn't do any wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He just came back all these years to see his wife and daughter. But the daughter, she never saw the father before, because she was very small. She cannot recognize his face. Very small, 1 or 2 years old when she was alive. If he comes and tells the daughter, I am your father, but before that, the elder brother came to know that his brother molested his own daughter, he cannot show his face to his daughter. So he called the wife and said, tell my girl that I died in a war or something, an accident, that her father doesn't exist. I will just go and live my life somewhere alone, and I will just die, because I cannot face my daughter because of what my brother had done to me. And that brother, he didn't mean to do it, but it all happened like that. This story was inspired by two events I came across recently. It really struck me very hard. It's two different lives, two different people. Just because they are look-alike, identical, the family of a man who was supposed to live together with his wife and daughter was destroyed into pieces. Why? Because the daughter, every time she will see her father, she would be reminded of what happened to her many years ago, and she would be reminded of a man, an evil man, who molested her. Now, let's ask ourselves, how strong your memory power is. We are all very good in storing memories, right? Because we see, we heard. It's very difficult for us to erase the memories. But do you know how weak this little brain is? If someone take a rod and hit your brain, you will forget everything. You will enter into coma. Even now, the technology has advanced to a place whereby they can even selectively erase your memories. Last 3 years, I can do it for you. Oh, last 10 years, I can do it for you. They have reached the state now. So what is the carnality or the limitation of our mind we are talking about here? Whatever we see, it can really put us into a chain that's it, my life is gone. There is no way out of it. Because our mind processes based on what these two little eyes see. It doesn't know the truth, isn't it? This story really shook me very hard, because it tells us, if there is no sin, cannot be washed by the blood of Jesus. Why the little mind, little brain that we have, the eyes, that put us into such a weak spot, that controls us to think, to say what we want? We ask the Lord to break this veil and bring us out of all such limited mind or limited eyesight. That is extremely limited, which is true. That is the battle that we are all fighting against, isn't it?
So with this, let's read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 11. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2 to 11. We are all preparing for the day of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we are fighting against our own eyes. We are fighting against our own carnal mind. We are fighting against our memories. Do not underestimate your memories. Memories are nothing but poison stored in your body. If they are good, it is medicine. If they are bad, it's a poison. We can't keep it. We need to take out and throw it away. Because if we embrace the blessedness of the Lord, if we embrace the spiritual discernment of how the Lord can do, what the Lord can unfold, we can forgive people. We can see a new creation, a new man. Although they all look identical, the same person who hurt you before, look the same. But when you have a spiritual revelation, you can see them as a new creation. The new creation cannot be seen if the Lord does not open our eyes. We just saw the challenge of just being a lookalike of someone who made a mistake. Let's say I hurt Brother Clavan 2 weeks ago, very badly, and I come here and I talk about peace. The first thing that will come to the mind is, you just hurt me last week, you're talking about peace, because I look alike. Let's say I'm the same brother who hurt you, but I came with a different face. You would be happy to receive what I say. You see the partiality here? That is because the eyes sticks to the outward appearance. I'm not just talking about look alike. It's also the character, our attitude. Maybe the same, but the Lord can do great things. If we can tell the Lord, I don't want to see the outward appearance, I don't want my mind to process, but rather, Lord, I submit. Because what Saul did when he was persecuting the church, it actually blinded Ananias. He's killing people, persecuting people, even the order to Stephen. And it is true, but the Lord says, go thy way, let me do what I want. When Samuel was surprised, why Saul is going to be king, the Lord says, I don't see the way you see. Trust me. Now, if we come into this understanding, and let's read this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read from verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say, peace and safety, the sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And this let us watch is where we should link what we learned so far. How do we see? How can you say that I am being watchful, I am being sober, if we do not have the spiritual eyes of seeing things? When the Lord says, let us watch, He says, let us watch. Watch with me together. Let me be your eye. Let my word be the light of your feet, so that you can see what I want you to see. You don't see what your eyes see. When the Bible says, let us watch and be sober, we are always together with God. Amen. When we look something in outward appearance, God is looking the other way around. But the Lord does not want us. He wants us to follow the ark. So we tell the Lord, help me to look. Help me to have the sight of God. And the Bible says you can have it by faith. And what is that faith? The Lord is able to change anyone, to change anything, to save anyone, to transform everything. He is able. And we believe that. His greatness is unsearchable. Amen. Now we read, continue to read, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day, we are of the day, we are not of the night. Amen. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation, for God hath appointed us to wrath, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. This reminds us, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. The Lord tells us, I will come any day, be watchful and stand firm on the foundation of my word. Amen. And we understand the importance of being blessed, understand the importance of blessedness, so that Lord can say, okay, now you are humble, now you are willing, now you are obedient, here you go, I will take off your veil, then look everything in godly love. Look everyone in godly love. Yesterday I was meditating, I just came across this thought in my heart. When the people of Israel walking in the Red Sea, the dry land, narrow path, there were many people coming to attack them and kill them, correct? In the chariots. Sent by who? Sent by Pharaoh. They were obeying the commandment of their king, isn't it? Not all of them would have the same mind to go and kill the people of Israel. Most of them, or many of them, they might think, my king in this world gave me a command, I must obey. If I don't obey, I will be killed. It is true. In those days, if you are a soldier, if you don't obey the king's command, you will be put to death. As simple as that. So, these soldiers, this army, these people who embraced as enemies of the people of Israel, who were chasing them to kill them, these enemies are not really having this hatred or enmity with the people of Israel, not all of them, but rather some of them are simply obeying the command that they received from the king of that world, king of that lifetime. Now you link back, when the Lord says, love thy enemies, can you understand what is happening in our life? When we love thy enemies, we tell them, you have a lack of understanding, this is the door, come this way. And that door you show in love. You show in love that they may overcome the lack of understanding and come into light. We are not here to despise or call someone an enemy, but rather even he or she is an enemy, we ought to show the same love, and that love is the gospel that we are preaching in our life. When we walk front, people can see light from the behind. Because the light is not just one direction, it is omnipresent. It brings light to everybody who is around you, who are behind you. And that is where the verse is fulfilled, love thy enemies. By doing so, you show them light. Hey, don't follow your king. Come, I'll show you the King of Kings. I'll show you the Lord of Lords. Yes, your body will die, but don't worry, we will enter into rest. And that is how the Lord says, let me redeem my souls. I'll bring back to them. And the Lord is coming back for us to appear in glory, and we shall appear together with Him in glory. And for that we need celestial body. And that is where we are walking now. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 to 49. Brother Zoran, can you read this for me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 to 49.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, 35 to 49.
Yes.
But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Therefore, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not, the body that shall be. But bear grain, it may be chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it can please Him, and to every seed his own body.
Amen.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beast, another flesh of fishes, so another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and one, for one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body.
Amen.
There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Amen.
Howbeit, that was not which first, well, was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earthy. The second man is the Lord's from heaven. And if the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, such are they also that are heaven. And as we have borne in image, we born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heaven.
Amen. Amen. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 45, it says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Amen.
So, quickening spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we read, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve blameless. What we preserve? Three things. Bible says, preserve your whole spirit, not just whole spirit. Whole spirit, soul and body. Whole. He preserved it whole. How? Blameless. Preserving these three blameless for the coming of the Lord is standing in blessedness waiting for Him to knock the door without being naked, because the Bible says there is nothing can be hidden from the sight of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. So in 1 Corinthians, as Brother Zoran was reading, the resurrection body that we are going to receive is because of the power of resurrection of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who is seated as a glorified Christ for us. So when the Bible says we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also borne the image of the heavenly. And verse 50 says, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither the corruption inherit incorruption. Amen.
Amen.
The seven church ages, corruption is going on, isn't it? God's word is being corrupted, being polluted. That cannot have place in God's kingdom. The separation is also happening, that is perfection. So there is a battle between corruption and perfection. And we are fighting in the middle. And not we are fighting alone, but the Lord is fighting for us and we shall just follow Him. And this perfection is because we are going to bear the image of the heavenly, not earthly, the celestial. We started the sharing with mystery of godliness. Amen. God manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, preached to the Gentiles, and received to glory. Received up to glory. And this glory has something to do with the what is going to happen to us. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3. What is the revealed mystery to us when it comes to the blessedness against nakedness? Ephesians chapter 3. We read
I will read from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3. I will read from verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, wherefore I desire that ye faint not my tribulations for you, which is your glory. The Lord says, faint not my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Amen. Everything that we go through will be our glory in Christ, because that is how we will be forged through fire. Amen. If the second Adam, the last Adam, whom is coming to take all of us with him for the marriage of the Lamb, on last Sunday, when he started this whole series, Adam, Eve, eyes were opened, they saw their nakedness. Then they went and used some fig leaves and covered themselves. And in chapter 3, verse 21, God came and said, He covered them in the goat skins, in the coats of skins. And the last Adam, our Savior Jesus Christ, who will appear in glory, glorified Christ, and He resurrected, sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who breaks the word, and we will be clothed in His word. Amen. We will put on Christ. The Bible says, put on Christ. If the Lord Himself is the word, we put on word on our body, which is to suppress our flesh and to be ready for the Lord to be blameless. Amen. Now, let's read Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Yes. We read from verse 10. We are arriving to the state of being clothed in blessedness, and we shall read Colossians, and 2 Corinthians from now, and we will ask the Lord to reveal more things in excellence way. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This verse, it covers what we read in the chapter that the one just read. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we are here to live a life, put on Christ, to be covered by his word and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, clothed by the Holy Spirit, by the word, in word. Amen. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The Bible says, if I lack charity, I am nothing. That is the bond of perfectness. That is love, the agape love. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in the name of the Lord. Jesus giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We receive His name. Amen. The name above all names. The name that sets everything apart. The name that we receive as an inheritance. And the Lord gave us His name, the greatest reward of our life. And by His name, by His wounds, we are all healed. And by His name, we are all saved. Amen. So put on the new man, so that we will overcome the limited mind of our carnality, what our eyes can perceive, what our ears can speak to our heart. But rather, we tell the Lord, give me a new heart, open my eyes spiritually. Amen. Let's read the last few verses before we close. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 to 29. Yes. Brother Ringpan, can you read this for me? Thank you. Chapter 3 verse 26.
Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. For you are all sons of God.
Amen.
Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And heirs according to the promise.
Amen. We put on Christ and we live a life to be like Christ. And in closing, I just request all of us to read this verse prayerfully. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. Amen. Let's read this. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Amen. We earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is in heaven, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Amen. We are on a journey starting from the Garden of Eden and all the way here. Why? Because we are here to conform to the image of the heavenly, our Savior, who is glorified in the presence of God. He is seated at the right hand. And we have the responsibility to preserve our soul, our mind, our body, our everything, to present ourselves blameless. Then when we read this beautiful verse, it says, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Our responsibility is we do not want to be found naked. Amen. In the presence of God, we want to be found clothed. Amen. By what? By His word. Amen. Amen. And by whom? By the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not by a man. Not by someone whom we like. not by someone whom we honor, not by ourselves, by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Himself, and we put on the Word as a cloth on our body. And how it works, the more we spend time with the Lord in Word, the Word will come and tap you on your back. Press on. Don't do this. Why are you going there? Do not sit in the ungodly council. It is wrong. People who complain that they cannot hear God's Word, we have to have the desire to meditate on God's Word, then we will listen. Because God speaks to us through His Word. If we want to meet God, we go and meet Him here. If we want to go and talk to God, we go and talk to Him here. Everything in His Word. Everything can be done in His Word because He lives in His Word. He speaks through this Word. And He gives us the eyes to see through His Word. And this is the spectacle that we must put on, not the books. The books are magnifiers for us to see the blurred doctrines, and we study, we understand, we tell the Lord, Lord, help me to put on Christ. Help me to have the Word as my eyes so that I can see by faith, not by sight. Amen. As we continue, now, for what that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. How beautiful it is. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now He hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Amen. While we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We don't want to be absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We set our priorities first. If the enemy throws an arrow on us, we have a bulletproof, we change the priority, world comes first, world goes behind, the spear will kill you. We put the breastplate on the front. Setting priorities is how we start putting on Christ as our clothes. We keep Him in the highest place in our life. We put Him in always in the highest seat among our congregation. He is the high priest who intercedes for us. Every time He stands in the office, He is in an intercessory role. When He is seated at the right hand, He shows His great grace and mercy to us. And the left hand represents what? Judgment. Amen. So let's remember that we are here to be clothed in His Word. And verse 9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Amen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Everyone may receive the things that they done in their body, according to that he hath done, whether it to be good or bad. Present or absent, good or bad. We want to be absent in our body so that we will be present in the Lord. Because why? God is Spirit. Amen. God is Spirit, and we are all preparing ourselves to go through this transfiguration from carnal to spiritual, from natural to celestial, from physical to something more heavenly, from earthly to set our affection upon things heavenly. We haven't seen yet, but we believe. Amen. We haven't seen yet, but we believe because the Lord said, I have broken the words of life to you. What else you want? If you want anything, come and find me here. If you want to listen to my voice, come and meditate on my word. Meditating on His word, obeying His commandment, is the only thing that we can do in our lives under the sun. As Brother Ronnie shared on Friday, the entire chapter of Ecclesiastes finishes by saying, there is nothing we can do other than obey and obedient and follow God's commandments. That is the only thing that you can do. The follow the commandments doesn't involve looking back. Doesn't involve pointing fingers. Doesn't involve anything. It just follows because the light always shines around. You don't worry about who is blessed behind.
just move on. And we hold on to peace and love, and we remain humble and sincere, because we summarize the place where we stand, the understanding that has been given to us, the salvation, the agape love, everything that we feel good about our spiritual life. It doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to anyone, it only belongs to Him. For Him, everything was created, in Him, everything will be regenerated. Amen. So we are all here to ask the Lord to help us to grow, to equip ourselves, so that we would be found clothed in His presence. When He comes like a thief, He don't want to see us naked. He wants us to be clothed, you know, in His word. I had some experience when talking to some brothers many years ago. Some said, the Bible said, watch and pray. I can tell you for sure that Lord's coming is not anywhere anytime soon. But when Jesus said, I will come soon, it's been already around 2,000 years. So what is the representation of the word soon? For us, soon means 10 years, 5 years, 1 year. But when the apostles were preaching, the end time is near, they said this even before 7 church ages. So what does the Lord want us to learn? Diligent, being diligent in our walk with the Lord is something has no room for complacency. Anything against God can be labeled as disobedience. You can try. I have pride, disobedience. I have ego, disobedience. I have lust, disobedience. But ego, pride, are they same? Lust, pride, are they same? The sins are different. But anything against God can be labeled as disobedience. So we ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be willing, help me to be obedient, so that I understand my position, the place where I'm standing, that I may know myself, that I am full of humility because I am blessed. I am in the state of blessedness. I am standing on the solid rock, my foundation, my Savior, Jesus Christ. So help me, Lord, to give me the spiritual eyes to see the spiritual nakedness, take it out, and let me clothe in the spiritual blessedness to put on Christ as my garment. Amen. We thank the Lord. So let's all rise and let's all pray. Let's meditate on what the Lord spoke to all of us through His word. The blessed feeling that we are all blessed, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, and we say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we are blessed because we are your children. We are blessed because, Lord, you called all of us to be part of the body of Christ. Lord, we are blessed because you showed your love and you showed the agape love in our lives. Lord, we are blessed because you revealed the truth to us. And Lord, we are blessed because the salvation, the spiritual growth, the valleys where we are taught, where we are trained, it's all because of you, O Lord. And we thank you and we bless thy holy name. Lord, we are asking for thy Holy Spirit guidance to examine our hearts before we start praying. Lord, that we are here to surrender ourselves. We are willing to open our hearts. And we are willing to sacrifice our body. And we are willing to sacrifice our flesh. So that, O Lord, we can focus on heavenly things. We can be prepared to appear with you in glory. So, Lord, we are here before we utter the words from our hearts. Before we pray to you, we ask thy Holy Spirit's guidance and to examine our hearts so that we may be prepared to be blameless before thy sight. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our great God of heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful experience of communing as friends in Christ, as children of God, to meditate upon the words of life. Lord, we thank you because, O Lord, the place, the solid rock that we are standing upon, it is firm, it standeth for sure. But it is us, O Lord, our feet sometimes shaky, our understanding sometimes goes wrong, we go astray. Lord, we don't want that, O Father. Lord, we pray in thy mighty name, mount us and place us and fix our feet to stand firm
in your word, which is the foundation of life, the foundation of our existence, and the foundation of salvation, and the foundation on which we are walking through this narrow path to enter into the rest with you, O Lord. You are our rest. You are our everything, O Lord. Lord, I pray, O Father, together with all our dear brethren as one body of Christ, and those who join us from overseas, O Lord. Lord, we are not spiritually connected in Jesus' name. We are not spiritually holding our hands together because of Father, our Lord, whom we serve, the living God, the glorified Jesus Christ. He has overcome everything for us to reach a place where we can be clothed spiritually, where we can have the celestial body to appear with Him together in glory, O Father. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this journey where we are moving from glory to glory, from grace to grace. Oh Lord, help us, oh Lord, to always look up to you, to always lean unto you, to always rely on God's love. That is the foundation of everything that has been done so far, because, oh Lord, for God is love. Oh Lord, we pray, help us to fill our heart with thy love. Help us to preach gospel of peace wherever we go, however we speak. It's not about us, it's not about our experiences, it's all about the light that is going to shine around us, O Father. Help us always to look forward and move forward, because God is always moving and you are beyond time, O Lord. Although our body is bound to time, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, help us, O Lord, to look into the eternal spirit, Elohim, Jehovah, O Lord, the name Yahweh, O Father, the name Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. Lord, the name above all name, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, help us to embrace the name in our heart, to understand and appreciate how powerful we are in thy word, how marvelous it is what has been revealed to us. O Lord, we surrender ourselves, O Father. Help us to be more willing and more obedient, because the Bible says we shall eat the good of the land, and that land, there is no nakedness, O Lord. There is no nakedness in the promised land, and we want to be clothed before we enter the promised land, because it is a land of blessedness, O Father, because you are blessed, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the spiritual blessings that you showered upon all of us. Lord, we pray, help us, guide us to grow in thy word, to understand our very purpose is to carry the light and be the light bearer, and to walk in the narrow path, to edify one another, to encourage one another, to be open spiritually, to see through what it's all about to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, is nothing but to preach the gospel as a living witness, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the life. We do not know how long we will live. Our candle has been lit. The fire is upon the candle. It is because of thy Holy Spirit, O Father. We pray and we surrender, all of us as one congregation. Take us as a candle and lit as many candles as you want, and help us to be the vessels for the Master's use, O Lord. Lord, help us to be the meaningful, the faithful servants who are your fellow workers, who are building together with you in love and in obedience. We thank you for everything in the mighty name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I ask for thy Holy Spirit to speak to us, the soft prompting, the still voice, to speak to us, to make us have this centered focus, the consciousness of walking with God, living with God in his word. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.